From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast, where we go out and we check out the culinary scene of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And with us today is Mr. Blaine Prowse.
Yeah, because we have a bit of a special episode today because we just realized we've hit about 100 episodes.
I know.
Holy crap. That's crazy.
Right.
Way to go, guys.
Well, I mean, you definitely laid foundations there, too.
I'm just looking through the list you gave me of all the episodes that we did, and I'm trying to see whereabouts I bowed out, and I was right about episode 50, so.
Was it really?
I think so.
Maybe I was actually trying to look there, too. I'm like, how long have I actually been here? And I was like, I even just said to John, I'm like, it was somewhere in here. I don't know, though. It was around the 50s.
Yep. I think about, 47 maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyways, when you dream this up, sitting in, waking up early one morning, I think it was.
Yeah, probably.
From a dream of how can I talk about food?
Yeah. Well, and how could I see John more? Because we've been friends for so many years. And then having worked different schedules, we hardly hung out. So I thought, there's got to be a way that John and I can hang out and be productive. And every time we got together, it was like epic conversations about usually food and things like that for 2 hours. I thought, we could just start recording this. It'd be cool. We could put it out there and, you know, it would allow us to get to connect, especially me. John knew lots of people already, but for me to connect to more people in the community. And that's sort of where it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we thought it'd be super easy. Like, how hard is it to record yourself talking?
It's going to be so simple.
Yeah. So easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember one morning I was driving down to school in Victoria, and that's when the Edible Valley name came into my head. I was like, that works.
Yeah.
Sweet. We'll do that. And
And I think you told me that, and I'm like, that totally nails it.
Yeah.
You know?
It works good.
I know we'd played with other names. Like, we're like, what can we call it? What can we do with this? You know? And they're like,
I'm curious what those other names were. I've never heard this. I always thought it just came into being as Edible Valley.
No, we had some dumb ideas.
I'm sure they were. Yeah.
Seems like kind
land of land
of
plenty, right?
Yeah,
we just kicked around the old Comox Valley thing.
Yeah.
Land of plenty. And we're like, well, that doesn't make real sense, right? It's not very catchy. Well, it is catchy. But it's used. It's already out there.
Yeah.
It's someone else's.
So that was sort of, that was the impetus then. That was the, you knew that the format was going to be, you guys were going to get together and talk about the Comox Valley's food. That was the sort of the crux of it. That was the where it all sort of began.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
We didn't want to be preachy. We became a bit preachy, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe with some people and some things.
But, I mean, the goal was just to anyone who had anything to do with food, like, get them in here and talk to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, find out their story. It was sort of, I always thought about it as a sort of a Sesame Street sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. Like, these are the people in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was too, because, you know, we had a couple neighbors come in and interview, like, when Brian and Leah lived next door to
Brian and Leah, they were the neighbors.
They
came
over.
We're like, oh, we have to do an episode, and we're not very good at talking to each other for that long because we end up talking for like an hour before we start an episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then we're like, and so, yeah. So we're like, Brian, come on over. So yeah.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's actually quite a few names of familiar faces. Like, as you go down through that list, we're holding a sort of a highlight here of the 100 episodes. And as you go through that list, there's probably about 10 or 15 names that pop up quite a bit later on, but there's quite a few that we don't see anymore. You know, they came in and did that one show and haven't really touched back in with them. And there's people there I'd love to talk to for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a few in here that have paths that are different now than they were when we talked to them for various reasons. And
well, I mean, I think everybody in this room, like just the three of us, I came in later, but since I came in, I'm in a totally different place food wise.
Yeah.
So are you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so is John. John's, well, you're still at Atlas, but your outside food things have changed. For
sure. For sure. I'm definitely active in different areas than I was before. So
yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why I'd love to talk some more with some of these people that we haven't seen for years now.
Yeah. Well, here's one beyond the kitchen door.
Yeah.
no longer there. We interviewed Sue once, and
yeah,
oh yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It was
yeah.
a great interview. And yeah, but yeah, it's no longer
it doesn't
there.
Even exist. Yeah,
so
I think there's a few places that have kind of changed ownership, or yeah. people have moved on, and that's part of the industry too. People,
yeah,
absolutely,
have passions and. And they burn themselves out, and then they go in different directions.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I laugh because I feel like I just came out of a situation much like that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Overwork yourself, and yeah. it's too much, and you're like, "Okay, I got to step away."
Yeah, I got to step back. Yep. I got to scale it back.
Yeah,
for sure. It happens to all of us, even not the ones not in the food industry. I'm doing the same thing myself with my new career path. Well, not really a career path, but just a job for the summer working at the Comox Lake Campground.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
that's something completely different for me, and
that's cool.
Yeah,
and yeah. You're outside.
Yeah, I'm outside in a interacting park. With people, but still using my skills that I've learned over the years of doing trades work. So
cool.
And I've been setting up the. We're not calling it a concession this year. We're calling it a cafe.
Oh yeah.
So I've been working at putting that together over the last week or so.
How is that going to differ?
Just different food offerings there. So
cool.
Just a little. Classier, I guess, in a way.
Yeah,
we're gonna have, you know, an espresso machine, so we'll have real coffee and
what?
Yeah,
wow,
waffles.
Another great reason to come to Cumberland, I guess.
Do you know what's funny? When I actually was first trying to get into the food cart industry, food trucks, when I was trying to get into that, my ex-wife and I, we had already split, but she wanted to offer a little bit of sage advice, and she was like, "Open a waffle cart." Open a waffle cart, you're going to make tons of money, because she's from Europe.
Right.
And, well, Sweden. But she, they're all over there and they make tons of money. And I just thought, first, this is sort of a response to somebody saying, hey, there's no gluten-free carts out there.
Right.
So I don't know how I'd make gluten-free waffles, especially, I mean, I'm sure I could do it now, but this was 6 years, 7 years ago. The whole reason I went into sushi, because I did tons of different food trucks as a kid. Yep. I worked for a guy who owned 7 food trucks, and each one of them was different. And yep. I worked in all of them for him. And the one thing I knew that I hated was anything involving heat. When you're in the middle of summer in a little metal box, you don't want to be over an oven or over heat. Yep. And so that's why
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's honestly like, my sushi was fantastic or my sushi was set apart from everybody else.
Sweat.
I was like, what can I do that's cold and gluten free for the summer? And that's where it all came from.
I don't want to stand over a flame.
Yeah.
It's exactly. That or sell ice cream.
Yeah.
Sushi or ice cream.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But well, yeah, no, I think waffles for sure, man. I think those will do really well.
Like, yeah.
People love waffles.
That's so cool.
I'm sure I will suggest to our food services manager to come on in and have an interview with you guys.
Yeah.
And spread the word. So
for sure.
For sure.
I'll let her know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Anyway, but I guess we're getting off topic of
episodes. I wanted to go back and talk about some of our old episodes and where we used to record, because that's quite...
Yeah, because that's jumped around a bit too.
We've done a bit of traveling.
Yeah.
I like our new location.
Yeah.
This works out the best, and I think people really enjoy coming here to Studio Live to sit down. It's nice and comfortable. The
audio quality's fantastic.
This is what I've done. I've done 2 episodes when we were doing them out of your house.
Right.
I've done 3 episodes at Jet FM.
Right.
And then the rest I've done here. Personally, I found Jet FM to be a little, I just found that we were stuck with someone else's schedule. It was very difficult. We were definitely guests like that, you know, and that was a little difficult. At your house was almost too relaxed, because we would just wander off and grab a coffee or something midway through
and then get distracted.
I would be pulling my hair out trying to
upload things. And
I like it here. This feels very homish to me, but I have totally different experience. What about you, Blaine? Where was it?
Well, we started out at my house.
Yeah.
Oh, that was our best episode. I think it was actually our intro.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you guys...
That we threw it out because after we sat down for an hour and chatted, and I think I was sitting on a wooden chair and I was leaning back.
Yep.
And all you could hear was...
Yep.
Really?
And then the fridge would come on and go...
Yeah, So you threw out the first episode.
Yeah, we did. We did that first episode a couple of times.
I think so. Yeah.
And then we finally had it, and then we went, okay, let's move into my spare room. So we went in there for one or two, and then we took it on the road, and we went to Halstead Farm, and that was a neat episode
because that was outside. Fun. Yeah.
We just set the snowball mic on the table.
Oh yeah.
Talked to Chris and Megan, and their little boy Sam was there running around, and could hear the sheep baaing in the back, and
yeah.
The dog barking and the birds singing. So that was kind of cool.
I remember an eagle going by in the recording that I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow. And that's strange. I've never heard that episode then. That's weird, because especially because I'm
friends
with them.
What is that, episode 5 or something?
Oh, you got I'll have to go there. Back and listen to it.
Yeah, episode 5. And then we did, then we went to the Newts and did one there about commercial fishing.
That's right.
In their living room. That was wonderful, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Then we had Russ in for the Comox Valley $100 challenge.
I'm pretty sure that was in your back room.
That was in my back room. And then shortly after that we got the episode 8, The New Hope. That was after we got contacted by Drex at Jet FM.
Yeah, which that was kind of funny because Blaine, that's when this kind of really got going because Blaine just sent an email out there saying, anyone who wants to help us, can you?
Yeah, and then I got a message from him. Kind of out of the blue, like, I have a whole recording studio. Want to come in there?
Yeah, wow.
We just kind of were blown away by that, and we said, yes, please. When can we start?
Well, it was funny, too, because it was like he brought us in there, and we brought us into the boardroom, and both of us are like, this is kind of weird. Like, yeah. Why are we here?
Like, yeah, right.
We've never talked on the radio before or even know how to talk, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it definitely takes that... That level of professionalism went like straight up, right?
Yeah. And we were there for, well, what's a quick guesstimate on the
20 episodes?
Yeah, it's probably around there.
Wow.
So
it was nice there because Drex brought us under his wing, you know, and he sort of would tell us things to do. And then,
yeah. And he'd uploaded it and, you know, it made that streamlined a bit easier for us.
Right.
So it's a matter of me writing up the blog and load the file on and, we were live pretty quick, so that was pretty
and
sick.
that came to an end, unfortunately, because of
Christie Gate, as they called it at the radio station, because
for
of
anybody that may not know what had happened,
or MILF Gate, the other one.
Drex was also an on-air personality, and he was interviewing Christy Clark, our premier.
Yep,
and made a what was the reference? He made a reference about her being a MILF.
Yeah, he was taking listener questions. And right. One of them was, can you ask Christy what it's like to be a MILF?
Right.
So he asked her on air.
Yeah. And I
remember listening to the radio that morning. I was working in our shop and I heard it and I went, oh, this is hilarious and it's not going to go over well.
No.
And then suddenly he didn't go back to work and I didn't hear from him for a few days.
Yeah. From the scuttlebutt was that he had been put on leave. Forced leave without, and while they decided what they were going to do with him.
Yeah.
And then
they fired him.
Yeah. And then in swoop,
C Fox.
Yeah. 99.3 The Fox. They jumped on it. They were like, oh, we'll
this
take him.
That's good. Yeah. And now he
fits us. Yeah.
Now he's on CKNW, I guess.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of lost track of him a bit, but
yeah.
So,
but anyways, with Drex leaving, he was sort of the emissary, or he was the one that was watching over.
Yeah. So that pretty much killed our whole game at Jet FM. That was December 2012, I guess. So it was right after the Mayans came in and hexed Edible Valley.
That was it. Yeah, exactly.
So that's right. I never even thought of that. That's how long ago that was?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's when I bought a Mac.
That's right. It was.
I'm like, I'll get GarageBand. This will work.
Yeah.
And I struggled.
Is that what prompted you to buy that Mac?
That's totally.
I had no idea that's why you bought that.
I was like, I need a computer. Blaine's like, GarageBand's supposed to be really good. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know anything about it. But I was tried a free download of, I can't even remember what program we were using.
We were using Audacity before.
Oh, Audacity. That was it. And I couldn't figure it out for the life of me.
And editing was painful.
Yeah.
I spent hours and hours just cutting out little things.
So needless to say, we tried it for a while and we rented microphones and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
And then you had the great idea of remembering that you had James as a friend.
Yeah, I did. I don't even remember how that came about. I just remember that, when I used to own a nightclub and made pretty strong friendships with a couple of sound guys over the years, and James had been sort of my go-to person at Sound Advice because I did a lot with Sound Advice back then. And I just, yeah, I don't remember if he posted something. I'm pretty sure it came about through Facebook. I don't know if he posted something or I posted something or whatever, but I was like, wait a minute, there's a studio right there. And it's James. Like, we've got to follow up on this. And yeah, and then here we are ever since.
Here we are on episode 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. It's great because James listens to us, which is more than Drax used to do.
Yeah. Drax would go in the back room and eat the dinner we brought for him.
I know.
Don't tell James.
And then, and then he would just say, are you done? And then you'd upload it, right? More or less. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I hit there was one button I had to hit and that kind of killed the recording. And then,
right.
He came in and did the quick mastering.
I still remember that episode with Tree Island with Scott.
Yeah.
Oh. And we got into a beautiful debate chat about the yogurt and how things were all coming, and he was a bit on a timeline, and we kind of got to the end of it and went, it cut off.
No.
10 minutes into our conversation.
Yeah. So we lost it all.
No.
Like 30 minutes of conversation gone.
It's so hard to get back too. You can't really cover that same ground again.
No. Yeah. So we tried to remember. I think we had some questions written down. So we went back and quickly did. He had a federal inspector coming in there to check out the yogurt factory.
Oh, wow.
And that night, I don't know why, but anyhow, he had to get out of there. And so it was a bit of a crunch. He was a little stressed.
Maybe that's why. I love Tree Island, Scott and Marissa. And I love I love them. But every time I've asked them, they're just like, oh, maybe next time. Maybe that's it. Maybe they just have bad memories. We'll get them on the show again yet.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen.
I think they're very busy. They got two young kids and that business is
booming. There you go. Yeah. Speaking of what we were talking about earlier, right? There's one of those businesses that was just sort of ground floor at that time. And now it's just exploding for them.
Oh,
they're getting so big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to talk to them, but they are. They're just busy.
Yeah.
They're just trying to keep up to the demand. So
yeah,
for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what else did we? What else have we discovered along this way of?
I don't know. Do you have a favorite episode? I don't think. I mean, we didn't really talk about what we were going to talk about, but
I think I have three favorite episodes.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of all ran in line with each other at John's house.
Oh yeah.
Was the first would have been the interview with Dr. Thierry Vrain about GMOs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was a huge episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people actually listened to it, but
I'm not surprised. I remember you've since then have referenced that episode a couple of times or referenced him. Like I obviously had a bit of an impact there on you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I'd been aware of all the stuff beforehand and I thought it'd be great to get him on and to have such a spokesperson for that cause in our communities.
Right.
Like, you know, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. The one with Miles Olson was really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Olson was the young man who lived for 10 years, basically fairly on the edges of Courtney.
Right.
And, I read his book and learned a bit about him and thought it'd be really cool to hear from this guy. So I invited him in and he,
yeah, that was an episode I wasn't too sure about. And then after meeting him, I'm like, I'm really glad I got to chat with him and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It was very interesting for myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the one with Dr. Don Wilson about the paleo diet.
Right.
That was a good one too.
Yeah. So that obviously had a massive sort of.
That's how Don and I became friends was through that.
Right.
Through Twitter and through that sort of stuff. And we're still friends. He lives in Calgary now, but.
Yeah, yeah.
And we still stay in touch. So
he stops every time he stops in the restaurant. I always make sure he says hi.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to sort of catch up with him a little bit. So every once in a blue moon that he comes out this way. So,
And one more memorable one that we had was when we had Primal Girl come into Jet FM.
Oh, right.
It's another paleo primal blogger from. She was living in San Francisco, I think, at the time.
That's right, and she was doing some
Arizona or somewhere, and her parents lived here, and she just happened to be in town, and I saw her on Twitter as well, and connected with her, and then she showed up, and we did an interview with her. That was kind of random and fun. So So I guess those are kind of my tops in my
top
list.
Stars.
Yeah, and you,
John? Oh my God, I. I can't even see Blaine's holding the list. So there's 100 episodes. You know, I've had so many great times. I mean,
your favorite the ones with wine and beer, probably.
Yeah,
if I know you.
That 3 or 4 episodes in a row where it was. I think actually there was like 5 where we had like Andrea from Wayward
Vodka,
Distilleries.
Yeah.
And then we had Darren from
Cumberland Brewery.
And then we had, yeah, it was like, it was just liquor. Oh, and then we had Susan and Jeff in.
Yeah, 40 Knots.
Yeah. That was 40 Knots. And then, yeah, and then Beaufort.
Beaufort was in
but
there.
But yeah, but I think it was like a run of all alcohol. And I'm like, whoa, we need to slow up on the alcohol. Oh, yeah. And in there was Max. Because Max and Aaron had just opened the White Whale, and he brought beer down.
Yeah, and so. You recorded those all back to back to back to back. Yeah, I had to drive you all home. No, I joke.
No. Yeah. No, that was, and I've always loved those episodes. But,
yeah.
Even when we had Connie on to talk about wine, that was a fun time we had.
For sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So anything that has alcohol, I'm all over it. Yeah. How about yourself, Darren?
I think... honestly, I mean, one of my favorite episodes, and not because to go back and listen to, but in fact, I've never gone back and listened to it. But
your first episode?
Yeah, the first one for sure. That's when I even said to you guys at that time, I was like, oh my, like, I loved this, and I live down the street, and if you guys ever want me to sub in for you, if one of you is sick or not around, I would love to sub in as a host.
Yeah, Darren, I need you to sub in a few more times.
Yeah, and that's sort of where things started for me here. And then I don't know, I think definitely like after I'd come in and was sort of hitting my groove, I guess I don't even know if you can say that, just sort of getting comfortable with the format and getting comfortable with the way things were done and whatever, I think the ones the Saputo, the ones with the junior chefs,
oh yeah,
I think that was fun because I think that was the first time that we had talked to anybody young,
and you know, we had like a group.
Yeah,
that was really interesting because it wasn't just directing at one person. You had to pick people.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You had to remember their names.
That's hard.
Yeah, I know. I like that too because that sort of, I just felt like it touched a different part of what we had been talking about up until then. Like up until then, we've been talking about people that are in food and established and what they're doing, and this was like some young hopefuls, like this is their, we're watching their dreams just starting, you know, of what they're going to do in the food industry. Yeah. And I mean, really, I don't know. I'm looking over the list here. And of course, you know, the one with Tony, who's now my sister-in-law.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I love that one.
Yep. I listened to that one and went, I need to meet Tony.
Yeah.
My people.
Yeah, absolutely. but I love it whenever we have friends on, but I also love it whenever we have people I've never met before on. Like, I don't know, there's so many great things about this. Like, we get a full round, a full mix of people, you know, from all different sort of parts
of the
food
industry.
It's
nice when you get to make new friends, too. Like, I find, like, every time we get a new person in here, we sort of make a connection and a friend with them, you know?
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I just love the show. I love doing it. I'm really sad that this last year we've had to really park it for a couple of months on end here and there because of, you know, what was going on outside of here. But I'm really happy that, you know,
well, let's talk about the future of Edible Valley.
Yeah.
And
well,
we can finish this off with just the future because
sure. You betcha.
We're definitely talking to lots of people.
Yeah.
And lining up a whole bunch of episodes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we've got a whole bunch of events coming up this summer, and there's a bunch of new businesses opening, so it could be pretty exciting.
Well, I think honestly, like, when we were talking about it, I think it was just casual conversation the other day with Michelle, and Michelle's a mutual friend of ours, and she had asked that because John and I were no longer part of Prontissima, which we haven't really talked about here, we probably won't. But because we're no longer part of Prontissima, is that it? Is that over? Is everything done, including Edible Valley? And I said, actually, I think we're doubling down on Edible Valley. I think now that we've both got a lot more free time, and we're both still, like, food's still our hobby, food's still our everything. So I think that, if anything, we'll be end up doing more episodes and trying to do more with it and expanding it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about it.
And I know Blaine's in Cumberland, so we can bug him a little bit more. And I think he's got some free time on Mondays.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So. And what do you have? What do you have planned? What do you think? Where are we going to take this? He laughs.
Edible Valley, the movie.
The movie. Yeah, right. I don't know if that always has worked out well. So maybe we'll stay away from the movie.
Yeah.
I'm looking at concentrating on the. I know we've done video work and we've done all this stuff, and
I see that. I consider that sort of stretching our legs and figuring out our footing. Like, we did some. We've videotaped some things, and that was interesting enough to say, I don't know if that's Edible Valley. Like, you know, we've tried out some new formats, which a couple of them I really love. The round tables where we get a group in to discuss a specific topic. I want to see more of that come in.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely do some more of that because it's interesting for me, and it's, I love the food debate. I think that's what it is. And when you can have a group of chefs and or just some good friends sitting around with you and talking about what food is to them. I mean, I'm interested to listen to other people talk about that. So I'm hoping people will be interested to listen to our episodes on that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other good thing too, with us having to take the big breaks that we've had to take is, we've got no end to a like the list is usually 3 to 8. We've usually got 3 to 8 people that we're really circling around trying to get them on the show. And right now I think it's like 22. So
our biggest trick is nailing down the date and just coordinating it all. So that's what I think is our biggest thing.
Because the market of people you're pulling from are, you know, the probably the busiest people in the working sector, farmers and chefs.
Yeah, it is. And and really the only times that even John and I can get the same days off together are Sunday and Monday. So we've generally had to tape them on Sundays and Mondays, and sometimes just people in the industry just aren't available those days, and you know, growers aren't available throughout the summer, which is what we're going into, and so we just constantly have to work around everybody else's schedules. But you know, we'll get all of those 22 names in here. I'm determined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I think we should just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to the last 100 episodes.
I know.
And even if you haven't listened to 100 of them and only caught 2 or 3.
Yeah.
We are hoping to put another 100 more up there. So if you want to support and help us out, we're always looking for donations and sponsorship for sure. We're definitely willing to start promoting some other businesses and advertising them through our website and our.
Absolutely.
And our podcast. So
yeah,
we'll definitely put that out there. And thank you, Blaine, for coming up with this brilliant idea.
Yeah, for launching the whole idea.
Hey, you're welcome. And thank you for carrying on with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, I'm really geared up. I'm really excited about maybe not even the next 100 episodes. Like I'm geared up for the next 25, and we'll hopefully just keep going from there.
Sounds Snowball. Good to me.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Don't forget to send your comments to us at ediblevalley@gmail.com. And remember to follow us on Facebook at the Edible Valley. And thank you to all our sponsors.
Yes, thank you.
The Atlas Cafe, celebrating 20 years in the Comox Valley. Globally inspired, locally sourced.
Do you like chocolate? I like chocolate. Ivan's Truffle Stock.